assemble a team that will make you proud. I can promise you this. We're going to have players that will compete. That will compete every day. That will compete to be the best that they can be. That will be great teammates.
Here's your game. Here's Russell Wilson man. Wilson throws. Caught. Hollister's hit on the goal line. It's on by Ray Greenlaw. He is short. 49ers come away with the ball. The 49ers have stopped.
Feels great, baby.
That's some bad mofo.
I'm so happy he's on my team.
Feels great, baby.
Welcome to For the Goal Podcast. We are back. We got a guest here. We're introducing the world to Fernando, my new co-host. What a week. What an off season. What a draft season. A whole bunch of smoke. McCorkle is everywhere where he shouldn't be. Fernando, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, brother. I'm getting excited. You know, we're about a week away from the draft. I'm jacked up. I'm ready to be done and over with all these back and forth and with this. What this podcast is saying, or what ESPN saying we're going to pick, I'm ready for it to be done and over with. And in all honesty, I'm not even thinking about three anymore. I mean, I'm moving on deeper into the draft because that's where it's getting pretty exciting for me.
Absolutely. We're all there. And my fellow co-founder to the left, right of me, my guy, Leo Luna of 49ers Goldmine and Niners Nation. What's up, Leo?
What's up? Thank you guys for having me. It's, you know, we have gotten close over the last few months, but before the whole 49ers Goldmine, definitely a fan of the show, so it's an honor to be, you know, on a show that you're still to this day a fan of, so appreciate
it. Of course, Leo, anytime, man. It's a long time coming. I did put on Twitter just now, emergency live stream. There's no real emergency here. We're just here to talk football, talk 49ers. Just a couple of clerical things to take care of. 49ers signed Wayne Gallman, running back, former New York Giant, Clemson prospect, and then Arden Key of LSU, formerly of the Raiders. Two guys that don't really excite me. I think Gallman will probably be a guy who makes the roster. Arden Key, we will see. What do you guys feel about those two guys?
I mean, for me, I'm a little higher up on the Wayne Gallman than you might be, Javi. I think that might be a pretty damn good low-key signing, low-risk, high-reward type of thing. But, I mean, this guy can run the football, and he's not too shabby. And with what Kyle Shanahan likes to do offensively, our running game and the stable of running backs that we have, I mean, this might be a really, really good depth signing that comes into play a little bit later on this year.
So with starting off with Gallman, it's a good signing. Like he said right there, RB3 for sure. I'm never going to knock a signing up a running back that just put up over 600 yards in the NFL. It's never easy to do that. And, with something I look at Gallman, just the stats, it's to where he had more yards per carry after first contact. It wasn't insanely high, but it was higher than Jeff Wilson Jr. And it was also higher than Raheem Mostert. Raheem Mostert didn't even average 2 yards per carry after first contact, while Wayne Gallman was at 2.5. I think he'll be on the roster. Obviously, anything can happen in camp. I believe the 49ers could still draft a rookie, and I think they should still draft a rookie. I don't think Wayne Gallman changes their plans on that if a certain player falls in their laps. And then with Arden Key was somebody that I enjoyed as far as a prospect coming into the draft in 2018. He was, before that process started, before his final year at LSU, Arden Key was looked at as a first round prospect.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately for himself, that didn't happen. I think the guy is still raw. I think he is basically what we see from Javon Kinlaw. That's where I'll say about Arden Key. He's still raw. There's still a lot of untapped potential. Do I think he's going to be this pass rusher that just comes on and has a season for the 49ers? I don't think so. Where I look mostly into Arden Key is he has good hands when he's working on the edge. Since he has those good hands, he's able to affect the run game. And I think that's what he does best, not so much as a passer. So he gives you some opportunity. Obviously, if he's on this roster during the season, Arden Key gives you some opportunity to maybe limit Nick Bosa's snap count to where Nick Bosa's not seeing 60 snaps a game. And you could throw Arden Key in more run ideal situations because he is skillful at that. Not so much as a pass rusher. I don't think he's ineffective in that way. But if you could limit Nick Bosa's workload on early downs, on running situations, then yeah, do it. I think Arden Key could help in that matter.
Yeah, that's a great point, you know, when talking about Arden, because Javier and I have talked about this a bunch of times. We've got to be able to relieve some of the workload from Bosa. We have to be able to do that for him. We cannot run this kid into the ground, especially coming off of an injury, right? I want to be able to rotate guys throughout the course of the season and put them in where they excel, you know, in those moments of a football game. But my big thing is health. And if we're able to kind of replenish and be able to move pieces around and take some of that workload off, that's a win for me. And I think a change of scenery for this young kid could be a really, really good step in the right direction and a great organization as well. So, I mean, I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, and then with, I don't know if you touched on it, Leo, because my connection sucks. But the Arden Key thing is, you know, you want to have a rotation of 8 or 9 guys like they did in 2019. So adding him in there, you know, if he makes the roster, great. But I think the Niners are at what? With the Mo Hurst signing today, they're at 84 players. They have 9 draft picks. We all know they usually go ahead and get 4 or 5 undrafted free agents. Are these guys going to make that 90-man cut? And that's kind of where I'm at with Arden Key, Gallman, and a couple other people on this roster. You know, Dante Johnson is probably going to be on this roster forever anyway, so maybe he's going to get cut. but guys in the back end is where, you know, you kind of worry about it. The Mo Hurst signing, it's not official. He just tweeted it out. Is it official? I was working all day. I didn't get to see it. All I saw was Mo Hurst tweeted that he's going to be a Niner. I liked him coming out of Michigan. Where are we at with Mo Hurst?
I'm just going to go back to the whole depth thing and our injury history. I mean, I'm not overly thrilled or, you know, I'm jumping, you know, through the roof here. But for me, it's just more we've been bitten in the ass a few times too many with injuries, this team. And at least it's nice to see the organization being proactive and going out and just making sure that we have guys to be able to plug in and lighten up some of that load. And hopefully in turn that prevents, you know, some injuries for these guys. That's really what I feel with this one.
Also, how I look at it is I know Kevin Givens has been in some off-field situations. And then outside of DJ Jones, like, what do they really have as far as a reliable depth? Someone that's in the game that you feel good about as far as getting his job done and not being blown out of the play. And I think Maurice Hurst gives you that and some more. He was another guy similar to Arden Key. Hurst was going to be a top 15 pick.
Yeah, before
but then hurt. That heart condition came out.
Yeah, the heart condition was, yeah.
Yep. That's right. So that dropped him all the way down to the 5th round. This kid's talented. And then when you look at players not getting to their potential, where have these two players been the last 2 years?
The Raiders.
Oakland / Las Vegas Raiders. Like, they've been a bad organization, at least defensively. I think they're even limiting Derek Carr. I think he's a better quarterback than what we're seeing from him as a Raider. So it's just look where these guys were previously. Look at where they were expected to be before the draft. And I think there is some potential with Maurice Hurst at maybe even starting because the kid's talented. Put him in the right organization. Put him in the right system. And let's see what happens. Just get him on the field. He will make the roster. I'm saying that now. I think he will make the roster.
Yeah, I think Hurst can make the roster. You know, because especially with Kevin Givens, we don't know what's going to happen with Kevin Givens. So, you know, I think he'd be the guy to replace Kevin Givens. Much as I like Kevin Givens, Mo Hurst would probably be the guy to do that. Just real quick, I think John Gruden is probably one of the worst coaching hires the last 10 years, you know, and there's still like 6 more years left of him. I don't know when his seat gets hot, but if it does, he probably just replaced it with another cool seat. That's just a weird whole situation. Let's get to what everyone came here for, quarterback talk. Pick 3, Everyone wants to talk about pick three today. It's more Mac Jones, more Mac Jones. And I think what made me feel better, Leo, probably what made you feel better, we were there. We were at the Senior Bowl. We were at Mobile. Saw Mac Jones live in person, in the flesh. And a quote from Tom Pelissero's piece today, in part of it, he said here, Mac's Bama tape is really, really good. There's no denying that. A college scouting director said, "But you watch him in Mobile. This doesn't really feel like a big time guy. You trade all that shit for him." It's basically what we've been saying since the trade happened. You don't trade from 12 to 3 to take McCorkle when you have McCorkle on your roster right now. And I'm not trying to disrespect Jimmy Garoppolo, but how do you go from Jimmy Garoppolo to Mac Jones, who are essentially the same player? You know, I always liken it back to the McVay and Kyle Shanahan comparison. They built their rosters pretty similarly. They kind of run the same offense, obviously, and they want a lot of the same things out of their quarterback. We just witnessed Sean McVay punt Jared Goff to Siberia, and you expect Kyle Shanahan to go get Mac Jones at 3? It doesn't make sense. We watched him at Mobile. We watched Mac Jones. He had a couple throws. He fumbled a whole bunch. He didn't look great. And there was no, you know, nothing told me that Matt Rhule loved him. Nothing told me that he'd be a top 15 pick. You know, I don't know if you have the story with Jason, right, Leo? What were people saying about him at the game? I had left, but I watched all 3 practices, and there was nothing impressive. Nothing.
Yeah, there was – it was – we were told that he was not going to play. Someone that works behind the scenes for ESPN, we were, you know, just having a couple drinks Friday night, Mobile, rubbing some elbows. And then one of the ESPN behind the scenes guy was like, "Oh, yeah, he's not going to play tomorrow." We're just like, "Who are you? how valid is this information?" Yeah. Ended up valid. If we were, you know, obviously in it to break some news, probably would have tried to post it, but didn't want to do all that. And the reason why he was like, "Oh yeah, because, you know, he didn't look good this week." Like, well, yeah, no shit, he didn't look good this week. And I was one of the people that was saying, "Oh, Mac Jones at 12, like, yeah, if Mac Jones is there at 12, like, I'll do it, because you're gonna win in 2021, obviously, if Jimmy Garoppolo is playing. The way this roster is built, it's a top 5 roster in the NFL. So they're going to win games. There's no guarantee you go in 2022 with the prospect at least of Mac Jones, as far as like accuracy goes. But that was then sitting at 12. And that was considered picking him too early as well. You don't think Shanahan studies it like that? He's going to play his cards like that. If you're going to go make this type of trade, it's one of those during the draft type of trade-ups, like they did for Brandon Ayuk, yep. Like they did for Dante Pettis. It's one of those in-the-draft moves. You don't do that. Essentially, invest 3 first-round picks for Mac Jones, because he gives you nothing elite. Like when they say, "And most NFL-ready quarterback," I don't see it. Like, what do you mean most NFL-ready? He didn't face constant pass rush. He didn't face corners that were locking down his wide receivers. Those things he hasn't gone through in the NFL. A lot of the time, his first reads at Alabama are going to be to receivers like Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, who's the Heisman winner, Jalen Waddle. So when you're talking about those wide receivers for your first read, a lot of those, you're going to be right, because they're going to be college DBs. You're going to be right. That's why he was one of the worst as far as these top 5 quarterbacks go when it comes to your accuracy, completion percentage to your second read. Like, Kyle Shanahan knows this. He's not trying to go through Jimmy Garoppolo all over again, because you take a quarterback like Mac Jones and invest the future on a guy like Mac Jones, doesn't work out, then he's probably not here. Kyle Shanahan, I'm talking about. But with Justin Fields, man, like that's different story. That's just different story. You could get away with that if Justin Fields is just okay, because he provides a lot more to the game than what Mac Jones does.
Absolutely. Real quick to answer Kofi 21. No, my wife is yelling at me through text message to hurry up. So that's what that is. So no. but no, I mean, we saw him. It didn't look great. I'm not a professional scout, but when I hear other scouting directors and you hear people in the stadium like, he's okay. Meh, Jones was what they said in the stands a lot of times. You know, like I said, he had a few nice throws. Like the one that went viral was the one that Aaron was, oh, look at Mac Jones. He's the biggest name there, right? And it's Mobile. It's in Alabama, of course. He's gonna get a lot of local love. But it didn't make any sense. It doesn't make much sense for the Niners. It's just crazy to think that everyone who I kind of value their opinion has kind of ignored everything Kyle Shanahan said in his press conference. Like, yeah, he said, I love Kirk Cousins, but did you miss the sentence before he said that, where he said, I want the biggest, the strongest, the fastest quarterback I possibly can have. Like he loves Josh Allen, but he also likes the brain of Kirk Cousins. Like he can put Kirk Cousins in this 49ers offense and they probably win the Super Bowl last year in 2019. Why? Because he's a little bit more talented than Jimmy Garoppolo as a thrower, as a passer. Jimmy might be a little bit more Jimmy might be a little more mobile, but I think Kirk Cousins wins you that Super Bowl. I'm sorry, he's a little bit more accurate down the field. He's willing to take those shots, things like that. So, I just can't do it, bro.
I mean, so one of the things about the article we're talking about, one of the big things that stood out to me that I highlighted pretty quickly was from an NFC quarterback coach that they mentioned, you know, NFL ready. But he's right up against the ceiling to me. And for me, that's massive. Like just that alone, I'm just reading that. And to make and trade the assets that the 49ers gave up to a guy who's already at his ceiling. And then mind you, this is one person's opinion. But to have a guy, like we mentioned, is a younger Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy that's going to go there and he's going to stay in the pocket. And look, he's a smart quarterback and he's played in a very tough conference and he put up numbers and yes, he's playing around a ton of NFL talent. Great. But if I'm thinking from an athleticism, what is this guy going to bring? How much is he going to be able to grow? You know, I don't know what the coaching staff's looking for, but it's looking like they want to add additional pieces to the puzzle for a quarterback, the athleticism, the mobility, and still yet bring the smarts and somebody that wants to learn. So for me, this coaching staff's going to pick somebody that, yeah, you know what? They might have a whole lot more room to grow, but we're going to work with him and he's going to be able to go out there and perform because, hey, Kyle's shown that he can do more. He can do pretty good with a lot less talent than a guy like Fields or Zach Wilson or these kind of guys. So, I mean, for me to talk about Mac and making that kind of move all the way up for him, for a guy that's at a ceiling already, then that's not what I'm looking for. But I do know we live in a generation where, there's always some kind of conspiracy theory. And I think, you know, one of the ones that even as I started getting all weird in my head this morning, I was going, hey, what if they decide to trade all those assets? Maybe Mac's their guy, but they go, hey, let's leverage this third pick. Let's get all crazy and let's generate the market a little bit so that when we get to three and we've got Wilson and Fields sitting there, you know, who knows who's coming to call and who knows what they're willing to give up. Cause hey, we'll be able to trade back down and get this kid anyway. And let's see what we could do. And then I felt really like, why am I looking at it? Like I'm falling into this trap and I'm going through all this, but I mean, it's a cool story. And if they end up with Mac, I mean, my heart would be broken. I'd have to get over it. You know, it's not my call, but I've got to think it's more than this conspiracy theory type of talk where they're doing all this with the hopes to generate some massive market for the quarterback and then still be able to get and pull off the guy they want anyway. But they could have gotten just stayed at 12 and been done with it. I mean, it could have been a day. They could have had Mac and we'd probably be looking more at Mac or some other quarterback currently, but now we're at three and we're getting to get the guy that we want. And I think we all kind of know, or at least hope, who that guy is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of go back to all the stuff we heard leading up to the trade, right? They called Carolina. They called Philadelphia. They called, obviously, they called the Jets about Darnold. They're gauging other teams' interest about the quarterback. And it goes back to the Senior Bowl. Like, nothing told me that Matt Rhule was in love with Mac Jones. And Joe Brady's not looking for a statue. He's looking at a guy with a little bit more mobility. So that's why you trade for a Sam Darnold, right? That's why you're looking to move off Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy, yes, he's not as mobile as he used to be. You know, you're looking at Philadelphia. They traded off Carson Wentz. Philly was trying to get to two. We all know that came out. So they were looking to try to get Zach Wilson. So those things were there. And then the Miami thing that came out yesterday, which is, you know, we did that roundtable with Jason a couple, you know, a month ago. And I said that they're going to try to trade the three. I didn't say it because I was guessing. I said it because I heard it. Leo, how long? Leo and Fernando, you guys know. I've told you this shit beginning of February that I had heard the Niners were trying to trade the three. If I had heard it, that means Schefter heard it. Ian Rapoport heard it. So I don't buy that these guys, oh, they kept it secret. Like, you know, we caught Adam Schefter in 4K a couple months back. You know, like everyone's like, Deshaun Watson hasn't asked for a trade. He hasn't asked for a trade. They kept saying it. Yet the day he requested a trade in his tweets, like, well, actually, we knew a couple weeks ago that he requested a trade. So which is it? Who are you pandering to? Why are you trying to hide things from the public? What difference does it make, right? Who are you trying to protect? And that's the kind of shit that blows my mind when people are like, oh, well, this guy has a blue check mark or this guy is more, you know, valid than anyone else. It just blows my mind. Like, come on. I was like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. No way that I heard it and those guys didn't.
Yeah. Also, Schefter also said that Sam Darnold was going to be the quarterback for the New York Jets this season. How's that working out?
Yeah. Like, come on. Let's get to John Beck, the importance of John Beck in all this. John Beck has worked with Zach Wilson the most out of everybody. He's also worked with C.J. Beathard, Nick Mullins, and Jimmy Garoppolo. And he most recently worked with Justin Fields. And then most recently, at the request of Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, worked with Trey Lance. So Trey Lance was asked by the Niners to go see John Beck. This goes back to my theory that when Kyle Shanahan spoke at his press conference, he said he was comfortable with three guys. And those three guys, to me, Trevor Lawrence, you're not getting him. Zach Wilson, maybe. Justin Fields, I know him. I'm familiar with him. He's worked with John Beck. I know that player. So he's comfortable with those three. You're asking Trey Lance to go see John Beck because you don't know enough about the kid because he hasn't played in 15 months. He's also one of the more raw prospects. And I don't say that because he hasn't played a lot. I just think his game needs a little bit more polish to it. I think he's very talented, a lot of upside. He has some really good traits to him. So you want to see if he can execute some of the things that John Beck is teaching via Kyle Shanahan. And Kyle and John Beck is kind of like this shadow GM for the Niners. Like, hey, Kyle calls him up. Hey, John, what does this guy do well? What doesn't this guy do well? Right. You know, and John Beck's going to know because this is what Kyle Shanahan has wanted him to do. Like he's coaching it the way he wants it coached. And I would assume that with Jimmy, CJ, and Nick, he's getting the same kind of intel back from John Beck as well about how these guys are looking and what this and that is, you know. So what do we make of the John Beck situation with all this?
Okay, I know we talked a little bit about it before, but, you know, I think, you know, this is a big deal and it's not something to be overlooked, the relationships, because that's what sports are all about and the business in general, they're all about relationships. And to have a connection that Kyle has with John and to be able to make those calls and, you know, be able to say, hey, we want you, Trey Lance, to go work with this guy. Because, hey, we trust and value his opinion and we know that he is going to be coaching up certain things that we are really fond of or that we agree with, you know, from a place to go. And I think that's what I love about Kyle. I mean, he's got these relationships and in a time like we're in currently with COVID to be able to call on those kind of resources and those relationships to be able to get the intel that you need on certain players to really do your due diligence and get a whole nother set of eyes on somebody when you maybe can't at a certain period of time. I think that's big time. And it's nice that he has those connections to be able to do that because, you know, they need to do their due diligence. I mean, they can't mess this up. This has to work. And if it doesn't work, you know, who knows? Who knows where we're at? So, I mean, this is a really big pick, and I'd expect Kyle to pull every string and call every friend that he has to pull out, you know, to make sure that this pick's the right one.
Right. And Beck has worked with Wilson the most, the elephant
since
in the room.
He's a freshman.
Beck went to BYU, Wilson's at BYU, so that's the reason why they've been working together for so long. Mm-hmm. And Beck has been working with Justin Fields since right after the national championship. Beck has been working with Fields. Does that heighten the 49ers' interest in Justin Fields? Maybe, depending on what Kyle has heard from John Beck, because it was a few years since Kyle was personally working out with Justin Fields. Trey Lance, Javi, like I said, you're totally correct. Kyle has to get comfortable with Trey Lance. And in an interview today in KNBR, John Beck was actually on KNBR today with Papa and Lund. I'm not sure if anyone heard it yet, but what he said is Kyle, the biggest thing with Kyle is the feet. It, like, one of the biggest things, obviously, it's, you know, accuracy and all that, but feet does affect your accuracy. Feet affect your timing. So he was saying the biggest thing with one of the biggest things with Kyle is the feet. Watch Trey Lance tape. I know you like Trey Lance a lot.
I do.
But watch his tape. His tape doesn't show anything as far as feet wise in his mechanics that's going to make Kyle Shanahan say, yes, that's my quarterback. So maybe you get John Beck in there. You coach him up on his feet, see how he does. And then you have that second pro day, obviously, with Mac Jones. He didn't work with John Beck at all. Mac Jones, I don't think he's the quarterback, especially when you have prospects like Trey Lance and Justin Fields on the board.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then add in the off-field issues as well. To me, that's a red flag. That's a concern. And then with Trey Lance and Justin Fields, he like checks all the boxes. He has your downfield passing attack. He has your middle game. And then the intermediate. All that, he is accurate in all three. While I do think Trey Lance has had some accuracy issue, I think it's getting overblown at the moment. I think people are just harping on that a little too much. I don't think it's that bad as people are painting the picture. But to me, it's like when John Beck mentioned the feet, it's so bad. Like when you watch Trey Lance's tape, like his feet are pretty bad. And then he also mentioned, they asked him about, okay, you run a lot of quarterback power with Trey Lance. How much is Shanahan gonna, you know, put that into his offense? And what he said is, it's a wrinkle. It's a wrinkle you do, you know, once in a while to give the defense a different look. It's not a staple in the offense that you're going to run five designed quarterback powers. That's not what Kyle Shanahan likes to do. And that was part of the rift with why they weren't really high on Robert Griffin III, is because you have to do those things in order to be successful. With Justin Fields, you don't have to do that with him. I think he's a good enough runner out to get outside the pocket. I think Trey Lance is a better runner. Trey Lance is the quarterback you want designed powers for. And they were also talking about the longevity. The quarterback gets beat up a lot in the pocket, you know, blindside hits. It often hits in the ribs. We saw it with Justin Fields against Clemson. And then you want him to basically be a running back out there taking on more hits. That's how Kyle Shanahan sees it, according to John Beck. And so basically, after hearing that interview, it's telling me, okay, it's Justin Fields. Would I be shocked if it's Trey Lance? A little bit. Like, I wouldn't say, like, I'm surprised. Oh, my God. They actually know. No, I'd just be like, oh, damn. I legit thought it was Justin Fields, because at the end of the day, while I'm so confident about it, Kyle knows. I don't know. And so that's how I see it. You listen to that interview.
I'm telling you to listen to that. You know,
just Fields has to be the pick after that.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I've definitely mentally embraced Justin Fields at three. Absolutely. 100%. You know, I look at the between Trey and I look at Fields and Mac, and, you know, I mentioned the one quote about Mac kind of being at his ceiling. And I think, you know, how much do the 49ers want to really coach up a quarter? Like, you know, how much work do they think they need to put in or want to put in, you know, with this pick? Because, I mean, Trey Lance's ceiling, could be the highest of them all with his build and his athleticism and his arm and what he couldn't do, what he can do. But another, you know, another quote is just more or less, or going back to that article, is talking about, you know, the competition he's played in, really how much tape do we have? And the fact that, like you mentioned, his feet and just some of the, you know, not consistent enough throws that you would hope to see from a kid. And it's, you know, what does this organization, our 49ers, who I think they know that they can get right back to a Super Bowl if they do, you know, X, Y, Z, and we get the quarterback situation right. I think they know that. So I don't know if they want a project like Trey, even though the upside could be substantial if you can get this guy right and you can really coach him up. I just think Fields is that one where he's right in that in between, and there's going to be a lot of room for him to grow, but he can go in and take care of business from the jump. And that's really, as you started to watch a little film and as you started to go through it, you're like, this does make sense. All signs point to this, because he can go win for you tomorrow, and you could still, you know, there's still plenty of room to grow for him as a quarterback under this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, go back to the feet thing. I think Kyle probably has PTSD about quarterback feet. Like, we've all seen Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm not trying to shit on Jimmy Garoppolo, but Jimmy gets he struggles past his first, second read. You start seeing his feet pitter-patter. Steve Young has said, if your feet are moving too much, you're not processing. And I'm going to take Steve Young's word for it, because Steve Young always speaks about how him and Mike Shanahan and Bill Walsh would talk about your feet first. And I'm sure Kyle Shanahan has that same philosophy. If your feet are quiet, that means your brain is processing things correctly. You're not going through everything so fast or too slow. And that's where Justin Fields, he has quiet feet. And Fernando, we had Larry Kruger on, you know, mm-hmm. I kind of gave him a little bit of pushback. He's, you know, he was like, yeah, Lance has quiet feet. I disagreed. And I told him that Fields was the one with the quietest feet. He's a very smart person. And that just fits like the whole feet thing. It's important. If your feet are all choppy all over the place, you are going to be making mistakes. You're throwing off a wide base or too close of a base, and you'll be inaccurate. We saw Jimmy Garoppolo with his crazy feet this year. Throw the ball too high, out in front, behind, low, all over God's creation. You know, Jimmy's easiest, best passes. That's why a lot of his stuff has to be within 6 yards, because they don't trust mm-hmm. him to throw a ball downfield. And I'm not trying to shit on the guy, but that's just is what it is. The numbers aren't lying anymore. The tape isn't lying anymore. With a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance or a Mac Jones, yeah, you're going to be able to push the field. You're going to be able to push the ball downfield, but who has the quietest feet out of all three? It's Justin Fields. The guy has a photographic memory. Like, he scored the highest on that test, that mental aptitude test. You know, I don't buy into the whole he's not smart enough. You know, kid had a Harvard. He had Harvard offers. Like, are we talking about the same thing here? You know,
it's ridiculous.
And you know, you turn on the tape. To me, everything screams Justin Fields. The minute they made the trade, it screams Justin Fields. It just, for me, that's just. I'm not convinced if you're taking Mac Jones at three. It doesn't make any sense. I think Kyle witnessed getting his ass kicked by Russell Wilson, getting ran all over the place by Kyler Murray. Josh Allen tore their ass apart. You lose the Super Bowl to Mahomes. Why would you take a guy like Mac Jones with Scout said, he's so close to his ceiling. I think he's at his ceiling. That's the best Mac Jones is going to be. Whereas you have way more upside with Lance or Justin Fields. And the guy who's most ready right now, in my opinion, is Justin Fields.
Yeah.
This is you're going to love that interview, because it's something you've been saying for a long time, Javi, which Sean Beck stated as well. When talking about mobility, they're not talking Lamar Jackson mobility. Correct. He said Lamar Jackson exactly. When talking about mobility, it's a guy that can extend the play and just be basically an extension of Kyle Shanahan's offense when things break down. And that's what Justin Fields, like, I don't mean to sound just like a straight Justin Fields homer, but it is what it is. Like, he's the obvious pick for me. So that's why I'm going to continue to say Justin Fields. Something that Jimmy got so much love on, which it was deservingly, was against the Jacksonville Jaguars, when he had that shortstop-like sidearm throw to Trent Taylor in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields could do that on a regular. He's mentioned before, his baseball background helps him to create those plays. And so we've seen so many years of Russell Wilson, another guy with a baseball background, extend plays and create something with it, create scores, create touchdowns. And that's something that I would love to see with the 49ers, especially when you have a guy like Kyle Shanahan being the one to call plays. Have your quarterback help your coach make the offense, not have your coach make the offense for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've said it since the beginning of the season. You know, mobility doesn't mean be Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick. Mobility means be Matthew Stafford in the pocket. Move around a little bit, extend the play. Mobility means be Patrick Mahomes, where if you need to take off, you can. But if you can move around the pocket a little bit, extend the play, you will. Mobility means, you know, even Alex Smith in his in his early days, he would move around quite a bit and extend plays. That's what Kyle's looking for. He's also looking for an extension of him on the field, you know, because Kyle may call 72 plays a game. 15 of those plays may not work. He's going to need a guy to kind of bail him out. Like, Kyle has to be perfect right now with CJ, Nick, and Jimmy. And it's just not I just got tired of the narrative. Oh, it's Kyle's fault. It's, you know, you can only do so much with your talent that you have on the team. And I always said, I thought this season, Jimmy, TJ, and Nick, they're just maxed out. Some guys are just at their ceiling. Like, what you see right now to them, that is their best. That is their best selves. And that's just where they are. Let's jump
and
to
really quick, really quick, before we jump into that next topic. It's a lot of people say that Trey Lance has the highest ceiling. To me, it's, what is that? Because what can Lance do that Fields can't do? Run quarterback power in the NFL five times a game? That's about it. And that Shanahan's not going to want to do that five times a game in his offense to run quarterback power. So when you're looking at a Shanahan's offense, whose ceiling's higher? Honestly, I think they're the same. If not, I'm going to give the edge to Fields because he is currently the more pro-ready quarterback. So I'm gonna give him the edge on that. I don't think the ceiling fits this offense. It's running power with the quarterback five times a game. That Shanahan doesn't want to do that, and John Beck stated that. So I'm going to take John Beck's word for it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's a fair point. I will say one of my favorite, another quote from the article that we were talking about today is, you know, that one of these scouts were saying that it's like he's throwing to people like me and you over there. Like the, in terms of the, all the talent are on him, on his offense, the wide receivers he's throwing to. And he's like, look, I mean, he missed a lot of throws, but then also, you know, it's like he's throwing to you and me out there sometimes and not the talent. But I do think it's fair to say, you know, what can he do better outside of maybe just purely running the football? And, you know, it is fair to say that for, as a quarterback, the throwing the balls, the reads and whatnot, I mean, there's nothing that jumps out at me in terms of just in that style, you know, that I think Fields doesn't, you know, have as high a ceiling as Trey. I think Trey is just that athleticism as a runner on top of the fact that what he could be as a thrower. But exactly, do you want to make all those moves for that kind of project right now when you had a guy like Jimmy who you got to a Super Bowl with? But like you mentioned, I mean, his Jimmy sometimes in the pocket, it was just, you know, it was disgusting. Just the hesitation to release the ball, his footwork, when he decided he wanted to step up or when he wanted to move outside of it. I mean, it was just all over the place and throwing off of one foot, fading away. I mean, it's just bad throw after bad throw. And the last thing you're going to want to bring is either a project thrower or a human being that literally only provides you the same thing that Jimmy provided you and is this some type of pocket passer who, frankly, we've had it and we don't want a project thrower. So Fields just fits. If he fits everything, he's ready to go out there.
You know, and I kind of resent that, you know, throwing to guys like you and I. Fernando, me and you used to run the blacktop. You were Jay Rice.
Listen,
I'd
catch some fucking touchdowns, bro. You want to throw them out there, I got it.
Yeah, you know, like, what I mean? We used to run the blacktop back in the day. So, but yeah, so the topic of, you know, people are like, why are the Niners throwing out this smokescreen? Why are they still doing it at this point? To me, you know, maybe the Jets told him that they're going to take Wilson at two, which I really think that's in stone. That's like in permanent marker, Wilson at two. But if he fall, you know, if they take Fields at two, they still give him the lead. They give themselves the leeway to grab Wilson there, you know. So maybe some other team doesn't trade up in front of them. Also, if Wilson is at two, the Niners still could take Fields at three. And they keep everyone else behind them guessing. Because I always go back to Kyle Shanahan's quote, someone's going to be left at the altar in this quarterback carousel. The Niners can end up with Justin Fields and Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster. No matter how we feel about Jimmy Garoppolo, he is a middle-of-the-road quarterback. You're going to win games with him. He's a starter in the NFL. Teams like the Bears are looking for quarterback. Washington, Fitzpatrick isn't a long-term answer there. Bears, Washington, New England at 15. You know, the Saints, could they be looking for a quarterback? You know, we've all heard Sean Payton said he likes Jimmy Garoppolo. They have their college ties. They went to the same college. So those things exist. So you keep everyone behind you guessing, and you still protect yourself in front of you. Maybe the Jets, they have no reason to be completely truthful with the Niners. They're protect their franchise the way the Niners are trying to protect their own franchise. So you want to, and I also think you're also trying to build up Jimmy Garoppolo's price, you know, like we're going to take, like if you let the world know they're taking Justin Fields, then you know Jimmy's on the move. If you tell the world you're taking Trey Lance, then maybe the price goes up to acquire Jimmy because you know Lance the project and Lance may not start this year. So it might cost more to pry Jimmy away from the Niners. Like these are the critical thinking pieces that get missed with some of the stuff that's on TV or other podcasts or whatever else. And I think it's intentional, but these things just need to be explained. And I can't blame the guys on TV. They got like 90 seconds to get a thought out, and we have an hour to do this. So it's one of those things. But I think there's a couple factors here. You know, you want to protect your franchise, you know, protect yourself with what's going on with the Jets, keep guys behind you, you know, wondering what's going to happen. You already know they messed up the Carolina Panthers plans because you saw immediately once they made that trade, Sam Darnold is a Carolina Panther. Like it was immediate in my opinion. You know, other teams that are looking for quarterbacks, Steelers, maybe the Steelers call for Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Like what?
That's a good one.
What else is out there? So, and then if you tell the world, oh, we're taking Trey Lance, then Kyle Shanahan's, Jimmy Garoppolo's price may go up that way. Like, hey, we'll give you pick 15 this year and we'll take Jimmy off your hands. You know what I mean? The price goes up that way. It's just smart. The Niners are playing this. They're playing chess, not checkers in this situation.
And I'm all about good business. I mean, this is good business. I mean, supply and demand. Quarterbacks in the league are tough to come by. Good, capable quarterbacks that can win you games are tough to come by. And right now, the Niners hold a lot of cards in their hand. Now, depending on what they actually want, you know, which card they want to play. And I think we all think that Jimmy's going to be gone and we're going to go get a guy like Fields and we're going to be good and we'll move on and we'll close that chapter and start a new one. But you can't tell your competition that. You can't, as a businessman, you can't show everybody exactly what you're doing because it's all about leverage. And right now, depending on those first two picks and what ends up at three and what ends up a little bit later on in the draft and who wants to move up and who wants to make moves and trade and who needs a quarterback, the Niners got pick three and they have a quarterback who, despite the inefficiencies and despite the fact that, you know, we have our own personal beefs of, you know, his presence within the pocket and how he threw, you know, his inaccuracies as a quarterback, at the end of the day, he did have a Super Bowl appearance just 2 years ago. And a lot of teams could do a whole lot worse than Jimmy Garoppolo on their squad. And the Niners know it, but they've got to get that market up. And by not, you know, tipping their hand, I think they do a really good job of keeping that leverage.
Yeah, it's you got to look into all your resources, and that's what the 49ers didn't do in 2017. They didn't look into all the resources. Kyle Shanahan admitted himself he didn't really look into Patrick Mahomes. He didn't really look into Deshaun Watson to the extent that made them feel comfortable. So now we're all losing our shit, basically, because the 49ers are extending those resources and trying to get comfortable with each possible quarterback selection. That's fine. do whatever you want to do during the draft process. You have this time to go ahead and do it. Who knows? What if there's a Laremy Tunsil situation with one of these quarterbacks, and then all of a sudden you kind of get stuck in mud, basically. And so I'm not smoke season. It is whatever. When I look at it, you have this third pick. Look at your resources. That's what I would be doing. There's no reason to show your card now. It's like you having, you know, full house. You're playing poker and you think you have an automatic winner and you're just going to throw all your cards. No, you wait. You wait, and they could be bluffing a bit, you know, to go ahead and get something a little more for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I don't see the Niners paying up for Najee. We're talking running back. Don't get me started. So I could see the 49ers trying to hold something down for Jimmy Garoppolo to, you know, in a trade. Because if you take a guy like Trey Lance, when do the fans start calling for the new shiny object in Trey Lance and then saying Jimmy should be benched if the 49ers start out the gate at 3-2 or 3-3? When does that happen? I think that's a situation Shanahan would like to avoid. Yep. So that's why I think the pick is Justin Fields, because you're able to avoid that situation with Justin Fields and then send off Jimmy Garoppolo to a team that gets left at the altar, like the Bears, Steelers, Patriots, just any of those teams. So I think that it's the right thing for the 49ers to do. The media, like ESPN and all the other networks, they're great at what they do because they're getting a ton of clicks while doing it during the process. Like, the 49ers have time right now to evaluate each quarterback thoroughly. Well, shit, all the networks have the time to go ahead and evaluate and guesstimate each possible scenario at pick three. So I don't think we need to freak out about it.
Yeah. So enough quarterback talk. We spent like 30 minutes on that. We can do that forever. But let's talk about pick 43 and pick 102. Fernando, let's start with you. What do you think the Niners do, or where do you think the Niners need to address at 43 and 102? And just based on positional value, how do you think they should go about it at 43 and 102?
Yeah. So with all the moves we've made, I think 43 is definitely a best available type of pick. You know, who knows who drops, who knows who's available at that point in time. So I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. I'd love if Samuels was available at 43. I'd like that a lot, but you know, who knows? But I think that's the great part, is that there's not a specific position that we have to have right there. I'd like to potentially maybe go corner, but if I need to wait, there's plenty of guys a little bit later in that maybe 102 range that we could get that I think would be pretty serviceable. But I'm a really big fan of an edge at 43, and I'm a really big fan of that. And there's a guy, his name's Peyton Turner, and I'm a big fan of Peyton Turner as well. Is that a little high for Peyton? I don't know. But I don't know if he's there at 102. I mean, Peyton Turner, University of Houston, he's a stud, man. And I know he's had an injury, but that dude's got a motor. And yeah, you know what? There's some things he needs to work on from a leverage standpoint. But to be able to add some depth again, because I want to be able to take some pressure off some of our, you know, other players, I think that's a guy as an edge rusher that, like, you could plug him in and just let him go, and he'll be able to get the job done, and he'll be able to take some reps off of some other players' hands, and let's keep people fresh and just quarterbacks on their asses. And I'm that's a guy I'm a big fan of right now.
I know what Leo's going to say.
How I look at pick 43 is just look at the team where they're built. They could literally go with wherever they want at pick 43. And all of us will be okay with it, obviously, besides kickers and punters. So what can you surround your rookie quarterback with for success? I think their receivers, albeit everyone stay healthy. You have Kittle, basically, because let's count him in the receiving game. You have Ayuk and you have Samuel. That's three solid options. Kadarius Toney's cool. I like him as a prospect, but he dropped way too many passes for me in the Senior Bowl. And then when you look at the running back room, for me, Mostert's coming off a little injury bug season. Jeff Wilson Jr. seems to miss about one game each season. And then let's look at Jeff Wilson Jr. a little more. Jeff Wilson Jr. had 7 games where he had 10 carries or more. In only 2 of those games, he averaged 4 yards per carry. So that's 5 inefficient games. That's more than half. We're not putting the bar at 5 yards per carry. We're not putting the bar at 4.5 yards per carry. We're putting it at 4. And he only surpassed that twice out of 7 games with 10 yards per carry. I say 10 because I think that's a solid number for a running back. It could just basically look inflated than what it is if we're talking about games at 3 yards or 5 yards, or excuse me, 3 attempts or 5 attempts. So this is where I'm saying give me one of those top 3 running backs. I'm talking about Najee Harris, talking about Javonte Williams, and I'm talking about Travis Etienne. I do believe one of them will still be on the board by pick 43. And if they are, you should grab him. Because let's talk about Kyle Shanahan and his undrafted free agents. They do wonders in the Shanahan system. That's great. I get that. Now imagine one of those elite talents in Kyle Shanahan's defense. You get one of those elite talents in Shanahan's defense, we're not cheering for Jeff Wilson Jr. to touch the ball. We're saying bring that other guy in. Let Najee spin. Let Javonte spin. You do that. So, yeah, Kyle has looked at other running backs. Like, do I really want another Joe Williams? Not really. Kyle looked to go pay Le'Veon Bell. He went to go try to pay him. He paid McKinnon already. I think when he paid McKinnon was in like the top 5 of paid running backs in the NFL. He went to go try to pay James White before that, but James White went to Tennessee. So they have looked at running backs. I stated Joe Williams previously. Joe Williams was a 3rd round pick. If you could get a Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, or a Travis Etienne at pick 43, I'm all for it. The reason why I'm all for it is the cornerbacks, they do need depth. But if they're not starting over Emmanuel Mosley, if they're not starting over Jason Verrett, I can wait until round 3 because it is deeply loaded. You get basically a pick of a litter of guys that could still be there, like Israel Makuamu. You can get the guy you had on the pod recently.
Ben St. Juice. Minnesota.
Yep. Ben St. Juice, you get a Paulson Adebo from Stanford. There's going to be a ton of talent there at pick 102. So I'm going to save my cornerback pick for that selection and then probably go like a Divine Diablo in round 4 because I like his ability as kind of a hybrid safety. He could play in the slot. He could play in the box. He could play up top. But take the guy that's going to impact your team this year. At the most, at pick 43, that's a valuable pick. That's a top 50 pick. And one of those running backs, top 3 running backs, are going to impact this team the most, more than a cornerback that's going to sit on the bench behind Mosley or Verrett, more than an edge rusher that's probably going to sit on the bench. So let me get a guy who can start and go play some offense. Like I would be fine with the wide receiver as well. Jalen Hurt, because Jalen Hurt does scare me. Something I've heard it through all sports. Once a back injury guy, always a back injury guy. So I don't put too many eggs in the Jalen Hurt basket to be wide receiver 3. So if they decide to do that, all for it. But pick 43 is just one of those selections. They could get whatever the hell they want there. And I think whatever the hell, that should be a running back.
You know, I agree with both. I'm gonna just be the oddball here, just because if I were to take a running back, I'm taking Javonte if he's there at 43. If I'm taking an edge guy, I'm taking my guy Joe Tryon out of UW at 43. Those would be my 2 selections. So just to add to the conversation, I go wide receiver, right? Niners have Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. After that, Mohamed Sanu, River Craycraft, that doesn't do it for me, right? You need to replace the productivity, the productivity of a Kendrick who's going, who was giving you, you know, 35, 40 catches, 500 yards, you know, a couple touchdowns, a couple big plays here and there. Are the Niners going to re-sign Deebo Samuels in 2 years? I don't know. So why not get started on, you know, potentially replacing him too? So if like De'Ami Brown is sitting there from North Carolina, if St. Brown is sitting there from USC, there's a, this wide receiver class is just as good as last year. I think it's pretty damn good. It's stacked as well. And I would be all for it at 43 to take a wide receiver. You know, I'm good with any of the three groups, corner, edge, or wide receiver, or running back. But with the Niners, I would go wide receiver and figure out what to do with the third guy, you know, because at that point, you want to see what you got, what you can get out of somebody else and figure out how to use Deebo, kind of preserve him too, because he's had injuries ever since he's been in the league. And that's the common thing with the Niners, injured guys, everyone's injured. Yeah. You know, get somebody who hasn't been injured in college too damn much. De'Ami Brown hasn't. He's a speed threat down the field. If you're going to go get a Justin Fields, you're going to want to stretch the field a little bit more too. So, Brandon, you can do that. But are you going to want to do that all the damn time with Brandon? You want to kind of switch that up, create other opportunities down the field with multiple guys. You have Yak Monsters and Kittle, Deebo, and Ayuk. Maybe just go get that deep threat in at 43. Put him in the slot. Get a big slot guy. You know, do things like that. Move Deebo into the slot. And then have an Ayuk, De'Ami Brown, and Deebo. That is a mismatch nightmare for a lot of defenses around the league. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is a corner, a slot corner that can cover Deebo Samuel one-on-one. We've seen Deebo smoke outside corners. If Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, had any sense of reading a defense, we would have a lot more deep balls thrown to Deebo Samuels in 2019. You know, if you go back to that Saints game, that third and two before the fourth and two, Deebo smokes Marcus Lattimore. Jimmy, all he had to do was look his way. That's ball game before even fourth and two Kittle throw.
Yeah.
So there's just so many options there. So I'm go wide receiver 43. Leo, you went running back. And Fernando, you went edge at 102. It's kind of gets where it gets really good. What are we doing at 102 based on where you're at 43?
Well, you know, I know 43 for me is best available. I went edge there with my pick with you guys. So now I'm looking corner now, because I feel like I got to get a corner now within this. I'm at 102. What's the next one? Is it 117 after that? So I feel like these are, you know, one of those two picks have to be a corner. And, you know, who's going to be available at that point? I'm not 100% sure. But, man, if one of those Georgia cornerbacks are there, I'm all about it. You know, whether it's Stokes, if somehow he's there still, you know, okay, I'm down with any of the Georgia cornerbacks. But now it just gets tricky, because you went best available and you decided, you know, my opinion, you know, at that point for my pick, edge was what I decided to go with, you know, and now things are starting to get a little bit tight, and I don't know who's going to be there at that point. So I've got my fingers crossed that one of these Georgia cornerbacks are still there for me waiting. And I don't know if your boy from Minnesota, if that's a reach maybe at that point, or if I'm going to try and push that one, if I'm going to go St. Juice, you know, I don't know if that's a 102, or maybe that's like, let me see if I can get away with another position or two and go, you know, grab him a little bit later at maybe 155. But you know, I like St. Juice, but I'd really like really any one of those Georgia cornerbacks, depending on the style of defense we're trying to run.
Yeah. Well, how I look at this is I believe that they're going to trade up from 102. How far they're going to trade up for 102, I don't know. But I believe that they're going to be trading up for 102. This regime has shown it to trade up in the draft, not only in the first, but in round second and round third as well. My pick was a running back. That's obviously if they're on the board. If they're not on the board, then I'm not going to force my hand and take a running back. But for this case, say one of those three land at pick 43. So then at pick 102 or wherever they possibly move up on based on my prediction, I would like to get my hands on one of these corners then. Because I feel more comfortable benching a guy that you get outside of the top basically 90 picks, I feel more comfortable with that. And so when I look at it, Benjamin St. Juice, 49ers regime has shown, I don't care what round it is, when it's my guy, I'm going to get my guy. That's true. And then, but my first player that I would want before him would be Paulson Adebo. If he's still on the board, that's the guy I want.
Okay.
He has good size. He's got 6'1 height. He runs a 4.4. He could put your hands on you. He could run with you downfield. I think he'd be special in the right system, and I think he'll fit the 49ers defense very well. He's a local kid, so I'm sure John Lynch might have had a class with him. I'm just kidding. Oh, I say that because he had a class with Solomon Thomas. But yeah, I like what he can offer. And if he's off the board, then give me Benjamin St. Juice. I think the kid's a stud. I feel like getting Israel Mukuamu would be way too soon for even the 49ers to pick 102 or pick wherever it is, if they do indeed trade up for that, because Mukuamu's kind of the same thing with Benjamin St. Juice. He's got size and he's got great ball skills. Watching his tape, when that ball's in the air, he plays it like a wide receiver. I believe Mukuamu actually is a converted wide receiver. And you could kind of see that when watching him on tape, since he did convert positions from offense to defense. There's a lot for him to grow and learn. And I think if you're taking a guy in round three, that's the round you do that, to take one of these projects like they did with Akilah Witherspoon.
Yeah, I agree with both you guys. But to, you know, if I'm taking a wide receiver 43, then I'm looking to address the edge position, because the Niners are picking at 117 right after that. So 15 picks later, I'm going to address the edge position, and there is a guy potentially could be there. You know, I'm looking at, where the hell is it? I had his name here. I'm looking at, you know, it's 117, Jordan Smith, edge out of UAB. I saw him in person at the Senior Bowl. Guy with really good speed, really great off the ball. He's a little bit smaller in size, but he does fit what the Niners like to run as far as a speed edge rusher. The other guy, I would go with two other guys. Quincy Roche, I know, Leo, that's your guy. You know, you're a Miami fan. I think Quincy Roche would be an ideal fit for this defense as well. Another speed edge rusher, another guy who can, you know, the U, another guy that can just, you know, be a rotational piece to this defensive line. And the Niners, that's how they win. That's how they wanted to build this team. They build in the trenches, and I would have gone edge rusher at 102. And I kind of agree with you, Leo, though. I think they will try to trade up to get back in, because that's, you know, you're picking 43 and then 102. That's like 70 picks. You need to get somebody in that 85 range. You know what I mean? So, but if they don't move up and they're at 102, I'm going to take one of these guys like Jordan Smith or Quincy Roche at that spot. I know I've been on the Joe Tryon train, but just for this exercise, I, you know, if I'm waiting, I'll go for a Quincy Roche or Jordan Smith out of UAB.
Hey, and just a name drop, Javi. I know I've told you about him, but in those 100s and those picks in that area, Darius Williams, I'm a big fan of that kid. I like him a lot. The cornerback from Oklahoma State, big fan of his from just watching. And he's the kind of guy that you can, you know, depending on your defensive scheme, you could just put him on an island. I mean, that's what he excels in, is that man coverage. And I like that a lot about a corner. I mean, he's that 6 foot range, you know, 195. So, you know, definitely our cornerbacks in general are going to be a little smaller than what we used to if you know, we don't have a Richard Sherman or whatnot. But 6 foot, I mean, this guy can really get his hands on you, that press man. He can play man. He can do it all. I think he's a really good cornerback who, if he's available a little bit later, I'd love to be able to snatch him up. But I do agree with the both of you in Leo mentioning it. I mean, we talked about who's on the roster currently, and was it 83 or so individuals? And so really, how many picks are going to be able to compete for a spot? Like, how many picks do you really want? So, hey, if you can package a couple in and get yourself moved up and really get a couple of the guys that are really high on your list, I mean, that's the move you got to make, because realistically, a lot of these guys aren't ever going to see the field, especially as we start to move in a little bit later. So if we can package those and move back up, it makes the most sense for the 49ers.
Yeah, Rodarius Williams, Oklahoma State kid. Funny story is when I was getting on the plane for the Senior Bowl, I sat next to him on my flight from Mobile to Dallas. Poor guy, really tall, and we were on one of those really small planes. So he had a hard time sitting on that that plane.
I said 6 foot, Javi. I'm 6 foot.
Not everyone in this video is, 5'10", Leo. With your 6'7" ass.
Gosh, I'm not that tall.
But for those who don't know, Rodarius Williams, Oklahoma State, just throwing up the picture here. Check him out.
You got that quick, man.
Wow. Yeah, I'm a producer too, Woo. Bro. I do what I do.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
But yeah,
real quick.
Go ahead.
We talk about that they have 9 draft picks and how many of them are going to make the roster. Last draft, they only had 5, and not all 5 made the roster.
Yeah.
Because Juwan Jennings didn't make it right out of camp. So if only 4 out of 5 made the roster, how many out of this 9, if they even do have 6? That many picks at the
That's
end of the day?
That's what I mean. It just makes a lot of sense if you can get up a little bit higher and grab another one of your guys. I mean, throw in a couple of those picks.
And they're going to find an undrafted free agent, especially with this class. There's a lot of unknowns. Some guys are going to fall. They may, Kyle Shanahan finds an undrafted running back every year. He finds somebody. We saw Jamichael Hasty make the team. We saw the other kid from Washington. He ended up playing really well in Miami. So they find some other talents in the undrafted market. So that's where they're at. But we have gone 1 hour and 5 minutes. I think everyone wants to go to bed. Fernando, you're on the East Coast. You got to go to bed.
That's right.
You're still drinking your whiskey or not. But
finish that up. I finished it.
But this is the Fourth and Goal Podcast. I'm Javi. That is Fernando. As always, check us out on Twitter at Fourth and Goal Podcast. Thank you to our guest here, Leo Luna. Leo, let them know where they can find all your work, anything you want to plug.
Yeah, you can just find me on Twitter at LeoLuna93, and then just search 49ers Goldmine. Whether it's 49ersGoldmine.com or 49ers Goldmine on YouTube.
Yeah. And then, Fernando, let the folks know where they can find you. This is the first time the world has met you. And I say the world because, I got like 7,000 followers and people know who you are now. So people seem to like
it.
You too.
I appreciate it.
The comments are great.
Well, thank you. You guys can find me on Twitter at DZ0880.
And then,
Leo, it was a pleasure, bro. It's a pleasure.
It was great. I appreciate you guys.
But yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in. We're going to get out of here. We will be bringing you more content throughout the week. Check out 49ers Goldmine for some more mock drafts. And then we have another fan interactive mock draft on Saturday with me and David. We're going to do this the first round, all 32 picks. But for myself, Leo, and Fern, thanks for tuning in. Everyone stay safe out there. Enjoy the night. Peace.
Peace.